If you think we spend a lot on healthcare now, just wait.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll have the global perspective in just a moment. First, a new report out today in the journal Health Affairs makes it clear that the U.S. government will be spending a lot more of its money on health care, at least if the health care reform law goes into effect, as everyone expects. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is with us live from the studios of Station WNYC with more on that. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Steve.
So how will we be spending our health care dollars in the future?
Well, this report says that in about 8 years, the government will be paying about half of the nation's healthcare spending. Right now, it spends about 45%. And of course, we're going to see a little bit less from private businesses, too. There are a few reasons for it. They're all related to the healthcare reform bill. A lot more people will be included in Medicaid. The population is getting older, so we'll have more people on Medicare. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people who have small incomes will find the government picking up their bill. But that's all under the current healthcare law. If we repeal or make any major changes in healthcare reform, you'll see a different outcome.
Medicare, Heidi, has come up a lot in this debate, this debt ceiling debate that's going on in Washington. Does the report say anything about government debt and how big the government should be?
The report doesn't say anything, but you know it's going to come up. The debt ceiling debate in Washington right now is centered on the cost of programs like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. And the changes are long and they're really expensive. So, for instance, the cost of the health care bill was expected to be about $940 billion over 10 years. This report says the government will be picking up 5% more of the bill in 10 years. So we just paid $940 billion to get the government to pick up 5% more of the bill. That's pretty expensive. But what we're not really coming to grips with is that healthcare is just costing us more in general, and we haven't figured out how to get those costs down.
Marketplace's Heidi Moore reporting from New York. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
The clock continues to count down to Tuesday's debt ceiling deadline when the Treasury Department says the government is expected to default. Negotiators have stopped talking about including help for the unemployed in any kind of final deal, but why? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
Remember that grand bargain between House Speaker John Boehner and President Obama? It included a little stimulus spending, giving employers a tax break, and letting them bring home profits earned abroad in hopes they'd use the money to hire. Now those very modest ambitions are gone. Ryan McConaghy is a policy analyst at the centrist Third Way think tank.
The imminent specter of default is driving the discussion to just what can be done to raise the debt ceiling and get both sides to sign off.
Not everyone agrees that the government should spend money to boost employment. Some Republicans say cutting spending will create jobs. Economist Donald Marin was one of President Bush's top advisors. He says that's true in a healthy economy, but not now.
We're in what's sometimes called a Keynesian world, where if you do sharp budget cuts, that will result in less employment.
Marin says jobs will be back on Washington's agenda eventually because unemployment is voters' biggest concern. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower right now, more fallout from the Washington debt ceiling drama. Electronics giant Panasonic today said it swung to a quarterly loss, blamed on damages and lost sales after Japan's earthquake back in March. Sony today also reported a loss, hurt by the earthquake, of course, but also by that huge security breach a few months back. Wall Street yesterday, well, the debt ceiling tussle continues to affect markets even here at home. Of course, the Dow gave back 198 points to close at 12,302.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations, Reputation.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Now the global perspective on business and economics. Here in the U.S., we're going to get the latest earnings report from cosmetic maker Avon today. Analysts expect it to at least match profits from a year ago. Avon, of course, is known for its door-to-door selling of makeup and other items. Over in Uganda, one U.S. organization is using that model to help consumers get often unavailable products, important products. And this month, that service is expanding. Here's the BBC's Anna Cavell.
With a $75 loan, women in Uganda are being turned into entrepreneurs. 700 of them have been hired by Living Goods to sell its health products door-to-door in their rural communities. A dose of medicine can cost just 20 cents to buy, but the transport costs to reach the store that sells it could be $2. And buying in bulk means these female entrepreneurs can get the products cheaply and cut out the travel costs for their customers. Joe Spiker is the vice president of the San Francisco-based organization. He's confident the business model will work because it's inspired by an American household name.
Avon was founded in the 1860s in upstate New York, and the conditions there are very similar to the conditions that you would find today in sub-Saharan Africa. Primarily social networks, underemployed women, and low penetration of essential products.
Living Goods has what it calls a double bottom line. It aims to both make a profit and improve community health. But big businesses are also looking at this model with interest. Procter & Gamble is already selling its products through Living Goods saleswomen. And this 19th century business model is being updated with 21st century technology. From this month, customers will start receiving targeted text messages on their mobile phones with information about discounts and promotions. In Kampala, I'm the BBC's Anna Cavell for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a new attraction at Toronto's giant CN Tower, one of the tallest structures in the world. Starting Monday, you're going to be able to walk outside of the observation deck up top onto a metal see-through grate and look down 1,200 feet below. No rails. Hopefully, you're not going to drop anything. Your body will be tethered to the building, of course, but a fee of $184 will disappear from your wallet, never to be seen again. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Cod. It's the wave of the future.
The growing conditions in Maine are very good for cod, and it's a kind of a natural choice for us as a state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, teaching fishermen to be farmers at Cod Academy. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street and whatever's happening with the debt story as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.